And then move over into the seventh chapter and the seventh verse. Matthew 6 and 5. And then go from there to Matthew 7 and 7. And while you're turning to this, I want to encourage you to be present Sunday morning. As I told you last Sunday, this Sunday will be the third in this series of 12 messages that I plan to bring on Sunday morning on the book of Hebrews. And this... this one here will probably be a little easier than the one last Sunday. The one last Sunday was the seven dangers that Christians face that the great apostle of the Hebrews was writing for us to look out for, these seven pitfalls, these seven dangers. This Sunday in Hebrews 3 and 1, you'll notice he is addressing the Hebrew Christians again, and he asked them to consider him, consider Jesus. And then again in the 12th chapter, in that third verse, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners. And so I want to deal with perhaps some of the problems that are perplexing us in these crucial hours in which you and I live. So I do want to encourage you to be here, because it covers a field that I have to deal with every day, and I feel that many people are having this problem, and perhaps I'll be able to help you, as even the great apostle was writing to the church here and the Hebrew Christians, and he was helping them as well. Sunday night, I'm not real sure, but I may preach on this sermon, God's Heart Transplant. You know, so many transplantings taking place here. And I got to thinking about this. And just recently another one has taken place. They said it's doing very beautifully. But you know, God has been in the transplanting business for a long time. And he hasn't lost any patients. And I like this kind of a physician. So you pray with us. Tonight, from this chapter 6, verse 5, I read, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men." When we went throughout the European countries in the Holy Land, this was very prevalent, because they carried their prayer rugs around under their arms, and when the gong would go off, they stopped in the middle of the street, they'd stop on the corners of the traffic, around the fountains or any place else, and they all knelt and they began to chant and clap their hands, and they do this several times a day so that everybody would see them. And this perhaps was going on in the day when the apostle recorded here for us, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now from verse 7 in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? And if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things Whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. I thank you, our Father, tonight because of the visitation of your Spirit.
Yes.
And I entreat you to just breathe upon us for this next few minutes. God, we're nothing. Nothing, Lord, in your sight. Nothing but just dust, like the dust upon which we walk. If you can use this vessel to the praise of your glory for the uplifting of some weary heart tonight, I entreat you to do so, Lord. God, bring us together and let us sit in the heavenly atmosphere for a little while. Because many of us today have rubbed shoulders with the things of this life. And some of those things have been discouraging to us and filled us maybe with despondency. But oh God, let the Holy Spirit now fall upon us like the dew that fell upon Mount Hermon. Thank God, let that freshness that we smell in the natural when the dew has watered down the heat and the dust of the day, let it water down the heat and the dust of the war that goes on in the soul of man. Thank God, for we are a needy people, Lord, tonight. And we need that atmosphere created in us, Lord. May we create a praise within our heart tonight. Oh, God, may we turn our eyes off of all the empty seats or anything else that might distract us. And let us recognize that you are here and the Holy Spirit is among us. And the Word of God has given to us His will for this night. And we've come, Lord, praise God, to do your will. We've come to obey your voice and to walk in your ways and to keep your commandments. Thank God that we may be instruments, Lord, and channels through which you can speak and bless in Jesus' name. Amen. As I waited upon the Lord for the service tonight, I intended to preach another message to you in which, if I would have had my own way, perhaps I would have preached to you. But I'm preaching to you, and I want you to notice in that 8th verse, he said, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth." Everyone that asketh, receiveth. And I'm speaking to you on this subject of prayer. If you haven't gotten it as yet, as you see, these scripture verses that I've been giving to you tonight are dealing with. And prayer is more than just saying words. From the scriptures, we learn that true prayer is a combination of bowing the soul before God. And true prayer is the pouring out of our heart to God. And prayer is asking. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is making our request known unto God. And I thought today as I waited on the Lord, and I have since Sunday as I've prayed and sought God, that if there ever was an hour when God needs somehow to quicken our spirit with the Holy Ghost, that the necessity and the great need is that we use the key in which He has given to us as Christians, that's been washed in His blood and filled with His Spirit, to unlock some of these difficult situations. And as Don was talking tonight about what he's seen, and this is true, and I'm sure that the half he hasn't even told of actually what he's seen and actually what has taken place. But oh, friends, if we let this, it would cause us to become so discouraged and despondent until all of the precious flow and joy of the Spirit would leak out of us. But through this channel, God, do you realize, has given unto us the great divine plan, the key, and the prayer is the exercise of the soul. Thank God that lifts us above any circumstance. And I thought of this as I read again the story of that great apostle John that loved God in such a beautiful way, having been exiled out on that rocky isle of Patmos. And I thought as he walked around that isle and looked up and nothing but buzzards sailing overhead saying, "Oh boy, we're waiting for you to hit the dust so that we can pick the final remains from your bones." And the howlings of the wind and the lonesome washing of the waves against the water, and knowing full well what he knew about Patmos, that no one had been able to go there and be exiled and return again. But thank God, somehow through this channel, somehow this man that knew God began to exercise his soul in communication. Because I believe this is what he was doing really when he said he got in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Yeah. And I thought of this as I waited upon God. Lord, I don't know any way else to get in the Spirit. I don't know any way else for me to get what I need from God. I don't know any way else for my soul in all of its conditions, regardless of its circumstances or its prisons or its yokes or its bondages that may be placed upon it, its iron curtains, its bamboo curtains, or any other. But that soul can be released and wing its way into the presence of God, for God knew what he was doing when he said, "Ask him, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find, and knock, it shall be opened to you." And here John exercised this channel, and he got in the Spirit, and the surroundings changed and became a celestial beauty of glory. He said, "And those waves that was washing against that ocean, he heard that it sounded like voices coming from heaven as many waters." And out of all of that, he said, he heard a voice, and he turned to see, and there in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, arrayed in that magnificent beauty and glory as only the one he knew and loved stood. He said, "When I saw him, I thought, well, what has happened from this barren rock Isle of Patmos? He is now enraptured." Thank God, through one little means, one channel, one key that every one of us hold in our own hands and heart and soul and mind tonight, his whole outlook had been changed, and he said he fell at his feet as dead. And he said he came and laid his right hand on me and said, "Get up, John. I'm going to take you on a little journey." Oh, tonight, Christian, how I'd like to take that journey with him. How I'd like, thank God, for him to come in this prayer meeting tonight. Glory to God. When a lot of people said, "Well, it's not essential, it's not real, it's been hot for me to go to prayer meeting tonight," I would like for him to come in some sense of the word tonight, lay his hand upon every one of us, thank God, and we might be able to take that journey with him. Oh, gloria mai. Nana makorian silam. Glory to God. The great need of this hour, my friend, is not greater physical attractions, but the need is that you and I that know Jesus, that is able to get down and insert this key in the proper lock and give it a flip. Glory to God, and see what happens. Oh, not with vain repetition, he said, is the heathen, for your Father knows what you have need of before that you even ask him. Prayer is the bowing of the soul and the knees before God. And so methinks perhaps that John cleared away a little of the rubble somewhere out there on that rocky Isle of Patmos, and down before God he went, hallelujah. And in that spirit of prayer, the ecstasy that gripped his soul, he began to walk through the Milky Way in the realms of the future. There God unfolded unto him the greatest revelations that we've got concerning our future prospect and our future home. Oh, thank God, tonight you and I have that same privilege. For Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, said in the 3rd chapter in the 14th verse, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, bowing the knees before God is a good act. It's a good attitude of prayer. It means that we have completely submitted ourselves. It means that we have humbled ourselves in an attitude of prayer and faith and worship. And this act and attitude of getting low before God is taking the right attitude in the presence of God. And when we come to pray, I think we need, if we're going to get what God wants us to have, the right attitude in the presence of God. Let us realize that our abilities and all that we may possess in a physical manner is nothing in the sight of God. And here this great old apostle, now banished from his church and banished from his fellowship and everything that held dear to him, knelt down before God and began to use the key. Oh, perhaps he said, "Jesus, this is the key that you said would unlock the treasures of heaven." And little did he know that perhaps God at that moment had put him there that he might give to you and I this beautiful book of the Revelation. Oh, which so many people said is a confusion. But my friend, it isn't when you think upon it in the term that it is built around, it is concerned with Jesus and the coming back to this world after his church to rapture them and to take them out. Thank God of this tribulation period, which is coming fast upon the world in this hour. So the great necessity and the need of this hour is for you and I to learn how to pray. Praise God. What is that little course? I found the answer. I learned to pray. You know, sometimes I think that you and I have learned how to phrase the proper sentences. And I think we have learned how to coin these words in a proper manner so that we'd be able to approach God with an eloquent, beautiful speech and sentence. God isn't concerned about this. You know what? Perhaps I found the answer. I've learned to pray. If we have really learned to pray, we have learned to submit our will and our heart and humble ourselves and bow at his knee and let the Spirit pray through us. How long has it been since the Spirit has gripped us and the tears have rolled and we've sobbed in the presence of God? And I thought of what Grace said a moment ago. She's spending more time looking about the color of the towels that she wants to buy than she is about praying for many women lost. We've rubbed shoulders with this thing so long now until we don't see many women lost, dying, going to hell without God. The vision, the burden of men and women without God. And I read it today and it stung my soul that 97 people out of every 100 that walks on the face of this earth tonight is lost and doomed and damned for hell and don't even know God and don't know Jesus and don't know that he exists. 97 people, considering all religions and all faiths, there's only 97 people out of 100 that are completely lost without God and without hope. And yet that burden don't seem to burn itself into our heart. Prayer is the pouring out of the heart unto God. If you like this illustration in 1 Samuel in the first chapter, if you turn and read it, and especially when you come down to about the 15th verse, the priest in the temple, in the house of God, and Eli finally came and he looked, and he came back and he looked, and he came back and he looked, and there was nothing but a woman, perhaps with her head covered up, laying prostrate out here, just moaning and groaning, and he couldn't understand or hear a thing that she said. And he came and he said, "Woman, get up, you're drunk." And Hannah answered in the 15th verse and said, "No, my Lord, not so. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured my soul out before God." Here she was at the altar of God. It didn't sound like anything. It didn't look like anything other than a drunk person. I'll tell you, when we submit ourselves to the Spirit of God, we may act like we're drunk and we may look like we're drunk. And like Hannah of old, she said, "I've poured all I'm doing is pouring out my entire soul. I'm emptying what's inside of me." Glory to God. Our psalmist David said it in his 62nd Psalm in verse 8, "Trust in him at all times, ye people, and pour out your heart before him." There's no need for us to struggle along here. There's no need for us to get out and labor as hard and beat the bushes like we do, my friend. If we want this place to fill up with men and women that need God, if we can get down here on this rug and pour our whole heart out to God until that vision enroaches itself upon us, that 97 people that we see every day out of 100, every time we see 100 people, 97 of those people are doomed for hell unless the Spirit of God gets through us somehow to give them the message. Do you realize this tonight? Has the Scripture... Prayer not only is bowing our knees in submission and pouring our heart to God, but prayer is a lifting up of the soul unto God. Psalms 25:1 says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." Lamentations 3:41 said, "Let us lift up our hearts with our hand unto God in the heavens." And the soul, which expresses the spiritual life and the feelings. Listen to me, friend. We're fast coming to the place of, in our Pentecostal churches of, until men and women no longer condone or no longer willing to let you feel the Spirit, no longer willing to let you cry and weep and shout the praises of God. Oh, may God help us tonight. May God bring us, my friend, prostrate before Him. You say, "Preacher, now there you go." Listen, please don't say it to me anymore that you're dependent upon the physical. No, no, friend. When the Spirit is where it ought to be with God, the physical will follow in its proper prospect. And God has always used them together, and He still will use them together. And we need a demonstration of God's power and presence. Glory to God that when our soul has been touched with that freshness from off of God's altar, it'll lift up your soul. I don't care if you're playing the piano, the organ, the choir, what you're doing, brother, there's going to be some manifestation. You'll cry, you'll laugh, you'll moan, you'll groan, you'll walk, you'll sing, you'll talk, you'll do something, my friend, because God comes upon that flesh and motivates it and moves it for the praise and the honor and the glory. We've sat still too long, friends. Oh, may we continue to claim what God has given to the early church, and let some of us get drunk, let some of us lay on the floor until they cover us up and said, you can't hear what He's saying, you don't know what He's doing. He's doing nothing but moaning, but His heart is being poured out to God, and in the process His soul is being lifted up into the presence of God. For Romans 8 tells us we don't know how to pray as we ought to. And I feel the necessity, the great need, my friend, is not more preaching and not more singing and not more of a lot of these other things. We really only do a lot of them just to kind of fill in the gap until the moving of the Spirit comes, until the manifestation of God's power begins to prick and quicken the heart of men. And if it don't, then we just go home and we come down and have a little church service. But I want God to move over this audience tonight. I want God to move over your soul tonight. I want God to do something in your heart ere you go home tonight, that you realize that you haven't just been to church, but you've been in the presence of God. Your old stiff knees has been bowed, and your old cold heart has been unloaded, hallelujah, and your soul has been lifted up in the presence of God. He said, ask, hallelujah, for everyone that asketh receiveth. And if every one of us asks tonight, we're going to leave this church with something in our heart that God has given, that man cannot give, and neither can man take it away. And it's the need of the hour, friends. It's the need of the hour. And then the soul that bows itself low before the Lord can be lifted up in His presence. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I don't know what God wants to do in here tonight. I only come feeling after Him. I only come seeking after Him tonight. Thank God, and I'm not the least bit perturbed because the whole place isn't full. I'm only perturbed that the fact that maybe God has you here for this crucial hour, and then you may leave without doing what God wants him to do in your life and in your heart, or me, I may leave without him doing it. But I don't want to. I want us to get there. Thank God tonight at that altar of prayer. Hallelujah. Prayer, then, my friend, is looking up to God in expectancy. Hallelujah. Psalms 5 and 3, David said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I'll look up. Christian, we've been looking down and looking out too long. Thank God. Get before God. Bow your knees before him and begin to pour your soul out and let him lift that soul up. Thank God, until you can look up into the heavenlies and see what God has in store. God's got some beautiful things for us. I don't care if we're living in a time of inflation, and I don't care if we're living in a time of all of these things that are going on around here. Brother, sister, let me tell you, in the midst of it all, God has some beautiful things for us. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. It's only if we'll begin to use what he's already given us. Hallelujah. That touch of God. And I trust that you're in here tonight will get it from the Spirit. I'm doing my best to just close my eyes and to give you what God wants you to have. And I believe when you get back here Sunday morning, there will be a glory and a power and a manifestation of the Spirit of God in here till every man and woman's soul will be revitalized. Thank God, in the power of His Spirit. Prayer is seeking the face and the favor of God. For he says in that 27th Psalm, in the 8th verse, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I'll come to you. And you have maybe never come to that place, but I've been there. And I want to go there again. In the Spirit, where I can look at him face to face and behold his smile and behold his matchless beauty. Friend, I'm not talking mysteriously tonight, but I'm telling you that there is a place in God.
Yes, there is.
I'm telling you there's a place where you can come and where you can walk and where you can tread before him and you can see him face to face. And you can commune with him without any condemnation hanging upon your heart. That's that flow. That's that free. Brother, that's when you ask. And whatever you ask, you'll get it. Don't you ever doubt it. Glory to God, when that heart and that soul comes to that place in God. Amen. And he seeks God's face until the heart and soul of man gets that picture and revelation is revealed unto him. Thank God. Oh, I know that many things come along and discourages and upsets us because, we pray, we get sick. And he said, well, that fellow, he prayed and prayed and he got sick and he died. Well, yeah, that's the way man's going to go. He's going to go that way. Don't get discouraged about that. There ain't nothing to get discouraged about. If he does it, if he's right with God, why, God's just taking him into the presence and the realm of his glory. Amen. Amen. This is what I told Sister Baker last night when I visited with her, to whom going her mother. Thank God she's outstripped us. She has already won the victory. She's got the prize. But you and I got a job to do. We got something left for us to do down here. And the only way we can do that is not in our own abilities, but exercising that key that John used when he was on the rocky Isle of Patmos. Praise God. Prayer is calling upon the name of the Lord. And when Abraham left out of the Ur of Chaldees in the 12th chapter and the 8th verse, and I have 7 sermons that I built on these 7 altars in which Abraham built. And if you'll notice, it says in that 8th verse, and when he got out away from his kindred, away from his homeland, and there he builded an altar, and there he called upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Jesus has given us the same incentive. Thank God in the 14th chapter of the book of John, my brother, in the 13th verse, and he said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." I read this today. I bowed my head and I said, "God, I've read it and I've tried and loved. This hasn't happened and that hasn't happened and the other hasn't happened." You know, when we say so many things we've prayed that haven't happened, that don't mean that God isn't keeping His word. That just means that we haven't bowed, that we haven't poured our heart out. That means that we haven't lifted our soul up into His presence, that we haven't walked in that heavenlies with Him. Glory to God, to where we can get in that place that when we ask, it'll happen. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. And if you shall ask anything in my name. You say, what is he talking about? In my name, that's when I get in him and he gets in me, glory to God. And I'm completely lost and there's nobody there really but just Jesus, glory to God. And I say, in his name, then he'll do it. Hallelujah. He's taken me wholly, completely into his hands. Amen. Amen. You say, well, preacher, why don't you do it then? Well, I'm trying. Amen. I'm trying just like you are. But I'm going to tell you this one thing. I still know that God is. And God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Glory to God. And regardless of what's ailing me or ailing you or your problems or your difficulties or anything else, I believe this word is true. I believe God meant what He said. I believe He said what He meant. And I believe He gave it to us, thank God, His instructions to righteousness. And I believe He's encouraging us, thank God, just to come to Him and walk in upon His platform. Glory to God, and claim the promise. Oh, we hear these candidates raring and ranting about what they're going to do if they get to be president. And we make up our mind and we vote for them on this plank, as we call it, or this platform, as we call it, what this guy said he's going to do. My friend, I don't know about them, but I'm walking on God's plank and on God's platform, and I'm going to vote, brother, to believe that God meant what He said. He said what He meant, and God's going to do exactly, thank God, when I come to this place. And we expect them to carry it out, don't we? We expect them, and we voted for them, and we expect them to carry it out. Brother, God said, come and prove me now herewith, and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven. Oh, and pour out a blessing that cannot be received. Hallelujah. Wherefore, He invites us to humble ourselves, thank God, under His mighty hand. Glory to God, and come to Him and believe Him and listen to it. In this 12th chapter of the book of Romans, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable service. And be not conformed, or don't let the world form you and squeeze you into its form. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I'll be dealing with this at length on Sunday. The renewing of your mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so prayer is the only exercise that will change and perfect the mind in its thinking and bring it in line with what God has given unto us tonight. There's no other way. Only through the means of prayer and the exercising of the soul through the Word of God. Prayer is making supplications unto God. Job 8 and 5 said, make thy supplication to the Almighty. Paul said in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Notice that, supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This word supplication means entreaty, humble and earnest prayer in worship,
before God. This word supplication means a petition, an earnest request. As Hannah said, I'm not drunk, but my soul is full of sorrow, and I'm pouring my heart out to God. Hallelujah. Oh, friends, if we can meet God on these grounds tonight, I feel that God's answer is in our hands. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. And you came here tonight wanting something from God, or you wouldn't have come. So I'm going to ask you, let's find a place somewhere and hide in that little room with God until we can get through into the perfect will of God in supplication with all perseverance for all saints in the Spirit of the living God. Father, we thank you tonight for your help. We thank you tonight for your strength. We thank you tonight for your faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And quicken, Lord, the Word afresh and anew to us as we gather around the altars and seek your face. For David said, I'll seek the face of the Lord. God, until you've revealed your Shekinah glory, until Kaburiya Sandalababa. Oh God, so inadequate, Lord, are men's words. So inadequate, Lord, to try to help your children to get through. But God, we recognize the fact that the Holy Spirit is not inadequate. And Lord, convey your message unto each of our hearts tonight. Thank God, until we have not only attained it, until we've accepted it, until it has gripped our hearts. Lord, until we find the purpose and the will of God in our life. In Jesus' name.